Good morning, and thank you for joining me on the Path to Liberty. This is the Fast Friday edition of the show for August 16th, 2019. Now, 48 years ago yesterday, if my math is correct, back on August 15th, 1971, former President Richard Nixon closed what was known as the Gold Window, and the results have been pretty awful since that date, since that time. The purchasing power of the fiat money, that's Federal Reserve notes, U.S. dollars, has gone down about 80%, while the value of gold has gone from $35 an ounce to this week, somewhere around $1,500 and up per ounce. So on this episode, I'm going to give an overview of what that was all about with some background information going all the way back to the 1930s and FDR. Plus, we'll point out a few lies, surprise, surprise, from Richard Nixon. Now, first of all, my name is Michael Bolden. We broadcast live every single Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9:30 a.m. Pacific time from here in my home office and studio in downtown Los Angeles for the 10th Amendment Center. We have all kinds of platforms and formats, video and a podcast edition. We have all of our archives, plus links to things that I reference in the show in the show notes. All of it's over at 10thamendmentcenter.com/path to liberty. Again, spelled out, 10thamendmentcenter.com/path to liberty. That's where you can follow and support the show. You can subscribe and do all that through that link. Now, since it's the Fast Friday edition of the show, let's get to it because I want to knock this out in about 10 to 15 minutes. I'm primarily going to be referencing an article we published yesterday on the anniversary of this closing of the gold window that we ran by Mike Meharry, who also writes for Peter Schiff over at Schiff Gold. And Mike is talking about this action on August 15, 1971. He says, Nixon ordered Treasury Secretary John Connally to uncouple gold from its fixed $35 price and suspend the ability of foreign banks to directly exchange dollars for gold. That was the window. People were banned. You and I, American citizens, people living in the country, were banned from getting gold for dollars. So there was no gold standard. But foreign countries, foreign banks could do this up until that point. And in a national television address, Nixon, check this out, promised the action would be temporary. And of course, we know that there's nothing more permanent than a temporary government program, right? It was temporary in order to, quote, defend the dollar against the speculators. The evil speculators had to be, we had to protect the dollar from them. But this also turned out to be a lie. The president's move, Mike writes, permanently and completely severed the dollar from gold and turned it into a pure fiat currency. Now, it was mostly fiat at this point, but this really ended any connection, any last remnants of a connection between the dollar and gold. And let's get some background here. First, we have to go back. I could go all the way back to the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. The Federal Reserve shouldn't exist under the Constitution. That is a separate discussion. Here, in this episode, let's go back to March of 1933, where FDR, he, quote, prohibited banks from paying out, and this is according to Mike's article, from paying out or exporting gold. And then the next month, he signed Executive Order 6102, EO6102. That's one of the most important ones that we should know about in American history, at least in modern times. This was touted as a measure to stop, quote, hoarding, but was in reality a massive confiscation scheme. See how they changed the language there? They used the language as a way to go after people. So back in FDR's time, if you just chose not to spend, you wanted to hold your wealth, you wanted to save, and you saved it in gold, you were called a hoarder, a negative term, and they had to protect people and protect the value of the dollar against the hoarders. And then in Nixon's time, a few decades later, if you weren't hoarding, but you were spending by trading back and forth for dollars, whatever you were trying to, you weren't hoarding though, then you were called a speculator. And then they had to protect the value of the dollar against people like you. So whoever's in office, whatever the political climate is, whatever the era, whatever the time frame, if you support sound money, government is going to find a way to make you see you as an enemy. So they just change names, change dates, and sooner or later, you're bad. So this was a massive confiscation scheme, Mike writes. The order required private citizens, partnerships, associations, and corporations to turn in all but small amounts of gold to the Federal Reserve. Now get this, this is really where it gets crazier, if that wasn't already crazy. when you were forced to turn in your gold, of course, they weren't stealing from you. They wouldn't want to be seen as robbers. They were paying people the fair market value. This is the fixed rate that the government has said that gold is worth. And that was $20.67 per ounce in 1933. So what do you think happens? I know not everyone turned in the gold, but for those who did, at $20 an ounce, $20.67, 1 year later, not even a full year, I believe, the government changed the fixed price of gold to $35 an ounce. And Mike puts it this way. This effectively increased the value of gold on the Federal Reserve's balance sheet by 69%. Just like that, like magic. It's worth $20 today. And as soon as government gets it, it's worth $35. And why? Because this removes constraints on inflating the money supply. We know that inflation means more dollars in circulation, more money in circulation. Mike goes on, he says, the Federal Reserve Act, which of course shouldn't exist, required all Federal Reserve notes to have a 40% gold backing, but the Fed was low on gold at the time. And by confiscating, they were able to increase their stores so they could meet that limit and then also increase the money in supply and have more notes circulating. And of course they do it just by magically requiring people to turn it in, then taking it, buying it at the current rate, and then just raising the value and then allowing it to be sold to foreign countries, foreign banks. So even though people couldn't exchange Federal Reserve notes, U.S. dollars, for gold, again, foreign banks, foreign countries could. And in the 1960s, this became a big problem, because the Vietnam War, Great Society, and so many other things, it was just, they were running out of loot. So they had to keep printing, again, which devalues the amount of purchasing power of the money. You have more money in circulation, everything costs more in dollar value. So what did foreign governments start doing? They started looking at this, say, this government isn't going to stop spending. We should start exchanging this for gold. And because of that, they were like, oh, we got to do something about this. And in fact, that's how a gold standard is supposed to work. It actually forces the government to be a little bit less dishonest. Some would say more honest, because it creates physical hard limits on how much they can print. Because sooner or later, someone's going to say, well, now I want gold for it. So if you keep printing the dollars, just give me the gold instead. And that's what foreign governments were doing. But instead of actually just restraining spending in the early 70s, 1971 specifically, and some monetary discipline, Mike puts it this way. Nixon simply severed the dollar from its last ties to gold, allowing the central bank to inflate the money supply without restraint. And here's I would guess this is the third lie. The first one was that it was going to be temporary. The second one was that it was only to protect against speculators, when we know that it was really because they just wanted to increase the money supply. And he says it this way, let me lay to rest the bugaboo of what is called devaluation. Your dollar will be worth just as much as it is today. And of course, supporters of the Federal Reserve System will tell you a dollar is always worth $1. $1 is always worth $1, but what you can purchase with $1 today is way less than it was at that point. When it's backed by hard currency, hard money, then a dollar really is a dollar, and without government speak. And Mike puts it this way. According to the Consumer Price Index data released by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the dollar has lost more than 80% of its value since Nixon's fateful decision. Meanwhile, the value of gold has gone from $35 an ounce to about $1,500. I have one other article that I want to reference talking about this inflation and the effect on the life of average people, from Nick Giambruno over at International Man. He says this way, and he's talking about why the cost of living has exploded. He says, this is all predictable as a consequence of the U.S. abandoning sound money. He goes on, by every measure, including stagnating wages and rising costs, things have been going downhill for the American middle class since the early 1970s, and specifically August 15th, 1971. That's when Nixon took this action. And he says, since then, the dollar has been a pure fiat currency. This allows the Fed to print as many dollars as it pleases, And without the discipline imposed by some form of gold standard, there was at least some. It was bad already, but at least there was, it wasn't a runaway train yet. The U.S. money supply has exploded 2,106% higher since 1971. And this rejection of sound money, it's the number one reason that inflation is eating up wage growth since the early 70s. It's the number one reason that the cost of living has exploded. It's the number one reason that government is able to pay for and fund so many programs that should never exist, whether foreign or domestic. And in summary, from FDR to Nixon and every single president since Richard Nixon, supporters of the monster state, not just the presidents, but all of their backers, they've all gotten exactly what they wanted, and that's the ability to spend without any fiscal restraint. They get to grow government without any limits. And the result? We've had massive, massive, almost unthinkable national debt and a devalued currency that buys people, the average person, less and less every single year. It's not good news, but I hope you found this interesting, educational, and enjoyable to watch. If you want to support our efforts, again, it's 10thamendmentcenter.com/members. I know there's a number of you out there that are members, and I'm very grateful for that. If you feel inclined to support us financially, as little as $2 a month really goes a long way. And if you want to support us without spending any money, you can do that as well by smashing the like button, by subscribing, by leaving comments, either live or in the archive, by sharing links. All of that stuff, all the platforms that you watch or listen on are all very easily triggered. So taking those actions tells the algorithm of the platform, oh, wow, I got to show this program to more people. So thank you very much for taking all those actions. Thank you very much for spending some time with me today. Thank you for those of you who are financially supporting our work. I really appreciate each and every one of you. I hope you have an awesome weekend, and I'll see you next week here on The Path to Liberty.